BBC Television presents Tony Hancock in...
Hancock's Half Hour.
No reply. I bet he's fallen off again. Should have mended it during the summer, not waiting for the monsoon season. No, wait a minute. This is rainwater. I think I'll wash my hair in this. Makes it lovely and soft. And it's cheaper than brown ale. But wait a minute, though. I need me bowl for me paper stripping, don't I? Yes, of course. Yes, never mind. Hello. That needs replastering. No good just papering over that again. Lean up against there, you'll be out in the street. Hello. What happened to you then? Fall off the roof again?
I slipped and bashed into the chimney pot. Oh, blimey. Here, take it.
What's this?
It's your television aerial. I grabbed hold of it.
Well, there's no point in putting this back, is there? Bronco Lane will look a right mess coming through this door. Oh, what a buffoon you are. Stay here where I can keep my eye on you. Give me a hand.
What about the roof, then?
Haven't you finished it yet? Tell me, you've been up there 6 hours.
Well, it's not my fault. It's in a shocking state up there. Every time you bang in a new tile, half a dozen of the old ones fall out.
The wood's rotten. Can't be. Had the whole place treated for woodworm last year. I shall sue.
Well, that won't do you any good.
Why not?
It's dry rot.
Dry rot? In this house? You can't get dry rot in a sponge. October rainfall for this room alone is 2.3 inches.
I can't help it. You've still got dry rot up there.
Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do, Sue. The whole place is going to rack and ruin. The whole place needs doing up. That's the trouble.
How have you been getting on down here, then?
Hopeless. Absolutely hopeless. Look at that.
Ooh, dear. Well, that's nasty, isn't it?
Hmm. What do you suggest?
Well... deep, isn't it?
It's deep, it's deep.
Yes, well, if it was my house...
Yes?
I'd fill it in.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. You're a great help. I don't know what I'd do without your architectural genius. Well, of course I'm going to fill it in.
Well, what did you ask me for, then?
Because I thought you might know how to go about it, that's all.
Well, you take the plaster and bung it in and whack a sheet of wallpaper over it.
I suppose so. Doesn't sound very professional. I'm sure that's not how Sir Christopher Wren approached St. Paul's Cathedral.
But he didn't know about wallpaper then, did he?
No, that's true. That's true. All right, then. We'll try it your way. So be it. Where's the plaster? What have you done to the plaster?
It was all right when I made it.
Look at it. It's like a lump of dough. This is hopeless. What have we done? Right. Ready. All right, give us a hand. Ready, go. Quick, slap it on, right. Hold it there, bring on. That's it.
That is my lot.
The whole place needs renovating.
Oh, I don't know.
Disgusting. The people should be expected to live in conditions like this. The council ought to do something about it.
The council? It's your own house.
Well, that's not the point. My house. House is the blood on the neighbourhood. They do other people's houses up. Look at the National Trust. They spend millions of pounds every year doing up people's houses.
Oh, yes, but that's only on places of historic interest where the owner is dead.
Well, there you are. What a farce. They do up empty houses full of dead people. They don't spend any money on full houses full of live people. This is ridiculous. The world's gone mad.
Well, that's the way it is. Unless it's a gem of architecture or somebody famous lived there, I don't want to know.
Well, I live here.
Oh, yeah. But you're not dead. Or famous.
No, but I hope to be both one day.
thanks.
Surely somebody famous must have lived here. The place is old enough.
You reckon?
Yes.
Well, let's talk about it.
All right, then. All right.
Tell me, who lived here before you?
My father.
Was he famous?
Let's see now. He invented a gadget for opening gas meters without breaking the seal. He's very well known down at the gas board. Well, it's worth a new roof at least.
Who did he buy the house from?
Let's see now. A retired sea captain.
Sea captain? Well, he could have been a famous explorer, sailed expeditions up the Amazon, something like that.
No, I don't think so. He was on the Woodridge Ferry.
And who had it before him?
A butcher, and then before him was a doctor.
Doctor?
Yeah.
Did he discover anything?
Only that his wife was carrying on with the butcher. Then in the 1800s, it became a boarding house.
A boarding house?
Yes.
Now we're getting somewhere. They have been known to do up places just because somebody famous kept there. Now you take Queen Elizabeth. She kept all over the place. She was never home.
Queen Elizabeth was 1500 and something. This establishment happens to be Kirkar 1820 odd.
Well, I still think the boarding house is your best bet. Blimey. Umpteen famous people must have ridden into East Cheap.
Yeah, and ridden straight out again, too.
Not the point. There might have been a storm one night or something. It's odds on. Somebody famous stayed here one night. I'm going to go and check up on it. I'm going to go down to the public library. They've got loads of books on the history of this district. You leave it to me, boy. I'll find something. Here's something. Oliver Cromwell used to fish in the stream on the outskirts of the old village. Well, that's it, isn't it?
What do you mean, that's it?
Well, here we are then. Oliver Cromwell's old hunting lodge.
Oliver Cromwell's old hunting lodge, this? Don't be such a fool. Oliver Cromwell was years before this.
All right, we'll say we built it on the site of Cromwell's old hunting lodge.
Then they'll pull this house down to find it. All I want is a new roof and a couple of new walls. We're not interested in anything before 1820.
When was he with the wake? Before 1820, was he?
Only about 800 years before.
Well, that's a shame. He had his tent up just round the corner here.
Did he? Oh, that's fascinating. Come on, let's come up this end a bit. Never mind about the Knights of the Round Table mob. Now then, let's get up to date. 1820, that's
all
what we
right,
need.
All right, all right, all right. 1820. It says here, in the 1820s, East Cheam was on the main London to Brighton road, and many famous people of the day used to stop for a change of horses and refreshment at the local hostelry.
That'll be the Hand and Racket. Say nothing about that. We don't want them getting in on this. He'd have a penny a pint on his brown ale if he knew that. Special brews. Lord Byron's best bidder.
Who?
Lord Byron. He was about that time.
Was he famous then?
Famous? Lord Byron is one of the most famous men in history.
What did he do?
What did he do?
Yeah.
Lord Byron? What did you do at school?
All right, what did he do?
Well, he was a good-looking bloke. Dab hand with the ladies. Had a bit of a limp.
Is that all he was famous for, then?
No, I think he used to do a bit of scribbling as well. He was a poet of some sort.
Oh, bonkers.
Now, there's a typically British attitude for you. Anybody who writes poetry must be bonkers.
Of course. Normal people don't chat like these blokes do. All the words turn round back to front to make them rhyme. A load of rubbish.
Well, I feel sorry for you. A man who can't see the beauty in Jack's return home on Christmas Eve. A sad sight to behold. Anyway, bonkers or not, he was one of the best we ever had.
Yeah? Well, they got a load about him in here.
What, he used to stay in East Cheam?
Yeah, it's all down here. East Cheam was one of Lord Byron's favourite weekend spots. He is reputed to have spent many an idyllic holiday with his mistress, Lady Caroline Lamb, in one of the lonely retreats Cheam was noted for.
Hello?
You hear that? He did used to stay in East Cheam.
Yeah, I don't suppose he stopped here, though.
But why not? He had to stop somewhere. I mean, this is the oldest part of Cheam, isn't it?
That's true. This house has seen better days. Can't think of anywhere else a man of his breeding would have stopped, can you?
He wouldn't have stopped at Mrs. Biggs across the road, would he? It's a right rabbit hutch, that is. No, breakfast is enough to drive anybody up the wall.
Well, that's it, boy. This is the only place he could have stopped. I'm going to phone up the National Trust and tell them to put on the new roof.
You can't get the builders in just for that. The evidence is flimsy enough as it is. We've got to have definite proof that he was here.
What sort of proof?
Well, old manuscripts, a bundle of his old letters found in the loft. His shaving tackle. A pair of his old socks with his initials on, LB, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Hey, go on, you nip up to the loft. I'll see what I can dig up round here.
Well, there's not much point in looking up there after all this
time. You want to get the house done up, don't
well,
you?
Well, of course
I can. Get up and
well, there's
the
no
loft.
Point. Go it's on, absolutely ridiculous. Go on.
Sorry that I've been right through the loft. There's nothing there. Not even a bottle of ink. He must have cleared it all out before he left.
Here, look. Look what I found. I was scraping around. Look what I found under the wallpaper.
Lord Byron was here, 1821. Lord Byron loves Lady Caroline. He didn't write that, surely.
I mean, he must have done. There's loads of his poems all round the walls.
But he didn't go around writing on walls. He wasn't that sort of a poet.
I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? He ran out of ink and he jotted them down on the walls to keep them fresh in his mind. You can't argue about it. It's here in black and white. If he didn't write them, who did?
I don't know. Let's have a look. Ode to Lady Caroline by Lord Byron. Roses are red, violets are blue. I'll be your lamb if you be my ewe.
Well, there you are. That's poetry, isn't it? It rhymes. It must be by him.
Yes, well, I mean, all poetry rhymes. I'm not criticizing it. It's very good in its own way. It's short and to the point, and you can't deny it has a certain joie de vivre. It's just that I don't feel happy about it somehow.
I don't understand you. What do you want, blood? What about that one, then?
Oh, yeah. Sonnet to the Moon by Byron, Lord. O wondrous moon, who shines its beam across the pine trees of East Cheam. I'm very pleased to see your light. Coming out tomorrow night.
There you are. Isn't that marvelous? He's a genius.
Well, it's his style, all right, isn't it?
This is it. I'm not kidding. There's loads of them around here. Look at this one. There's a little old log cabin across the Great Divide.
Did he write that?
Well, it's there.
Oh, this is it. The National Trust can't ignore us after this. Put a room full of unpublished Byron and wait till we confront him with this. It's the artistic find of the century. I can feel his presence here between these four walls. Yes, genius has been at work here. The chestnut tree. I wish I were a chestnut tree and nourished by the sun, with twigs and leaves and branches and conkers by the ton.
Follow that. Robert Browning, I wouldn't give him house room.
Well, I'll come straight to the point. I'm going to do you a favour.
Oh, yes? A cheque for the National Trust, perhaps?
No, much grander than that. I intend to present my home to the nation.
Oh, I see.
On one condition, you do it up and I, my heirs, live there free of charge. And then you can have it.
Oh, that's very generous of you. Perhaps we'd better take down some particulars. Now, the name of this residence?
Hancock Towers.
Hancock Towers. Oh. I'm familiar with most of the stately homes and castles of this country, but I'm afraid you have the advantage of me. Where actually is it?
It's a semi-detached in East Cheam.
Semi-detached? Is this some kind of a joke?
You want it or not?
Well, why should the National Trust be interested in a semi-detached house at East Cheam?
Now, well, this is where I'm going to astound you. We have conclusive proof that Lord Byron lived there. We have a room full of his unpublished poems. What about that?
Rubbish.
But it's true. It's all written down there. Now, in his own handwriting, I think we'll have a nice striped Regency flock wallpaper with a Wedgwood blue ceiling.
Just a moment. The National Trust don't renovate any old ruin just like that.
Well, exactly. It is a ruin. You can't leave one of Lord Byron's nesting places in a condition like that. Let's see now. I reckon he would have had the gold leaf on his scullery jaw, yes, to go against the Chinese jade on the marble console table that you'll be put in the hall. And we need a new roof.
My dear sir, before we go into things like that, we have to have concrete proof that Lord Byron did, in fact, live in this place.
Well, I've told you, his stuff's all over the walls. Now then, as to furniture, Sid, I know, has always seen himself in a four-post, haven't you?
Yeah, French Empire, bags and mirrors.
Yeah. Very elegant, that, very elegant. My room, I think, Rococo, with a slight Byzantine influence, veering towards the classic Georgian style with half a dozen flying ducks on the wall.
Right, just a moment, if you don't mind. First of all, the address of this place where you say Lord Byron lived?
23 Railway Cuttings. Now then, I'll have a couple of marble pillars on the porch, I think, and as
railway
a carpet...
Railway Cuttings?
Yes.
Well, Byron lived years before the railways.
Ah, yes, but they changed the name during the Industrial Revolution. It used to be called Stagecoach Cuttings.
That's right, yes, yes. Yes, 23 Stagecoach Cuttings, yes. Now, we'll have half a dozen Adam fireplaces, and when the electricity board do a very nice little fire with the cardboard coal and the electric flame shooting up the
I don't say they do, yes. Well, I'm rather more interested in these poems that you say are on the walls. You're absolutely positive that they're the work of Lord Byron?
Oh, yes, of course, it says so.
Go on, give him a sample. Tell him one.
Shall I?
Yeah, go on.
All right. Well, this is a lovely thing, this is. Just underneath the serving hatch, this was. It's called The Legionnaire by Lord Byron. Just underneath the serving hatch. There's a lonely little outpost to the north of Desert Pass. There's a lonely little soldier on the hunt. He's cut off from his unit, and he's lost his way, alas, because he wore his helmet back to front.
Get out.
I beg your pardon?
Byron could never have written words like that.
Well, I told you it was unpublished stuff. I mean, we all write rubbish now and again. It was probably some of his early stuff when he was a lad just learning the trade.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
Oh, I tell you this, you could do, have this, give this to the nation to preserve this shrine of culture. You could do a lovely job for 10,000 quid.
You kindly leave this office.
What about this one? He was a sturdy lad with a heart of gold and a 3 days' growth on his chin.
Will you get out?
Here you are, look, the Scotsman, just above the electric light switch. He wore a sporran around his middle and a kilt below his knees. He gave a cough and his hat fell off and put his...
These people out.
What about my house? Home's fit for heroes to live in, you say.
I never said anything.
Well, somebody said...
Show him your medals, sir.
Roll them out before I send for the police.
You have known the last of this. I'll keep Lord Byron's name going. I'll preserve that house without your help. Thousands will flock to East Cheam to pay tribute. You're a Philistine, sir. Do you mind? You're not the dark hall now, mate.
Job up the sixth pub. That'll be his teapot. Presented to Lord Byron by the Prince of Wales. Nice. Now, did he play football? Well, we take a chance. Lord Byron's football boots. His collar stiffeners. The braces he wore when he proposed to Lady Caroline. His boot polish. And his comb. Right. So that go like a bomb, right?
You all, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Byron Shrine is now open. Have your $5 ready.
Thank you very much, indeed.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Your guide will be with you in a moment, ladies and gentlemen. A descendant of the great man himself.
Throng, welcome to Lord Byron's cottage. You people are the first to be privileged to gaze upon this house of culture. After the show is over, you'll be able to buy souvenirs. And if you'd like to come with me this way, I'll just show you around the place. Now, ooh, by golly, my legs are a bit nasty today. Right. Now, if you'd be good enough to come this way and try and keep together, please, and don't stub your fag ends out on the carpet, please. Thank you very much. Right. Now, this room is the very room Lord Byron himself was very fond of. The glorious view from the window was a great inspiration to him.
Come to his own very desk. His desk here where he used to knock his old odes out there. Look at that. Who knows what countless odes that blotting paper has got on it back to front. And there the pièce de résistance, his typewriter with which he used to do his manuscripts. Look at those keys. Don't touch him, please. He's still got his fingerprints on.
Pardon me, sir. May I ask a question?
Ah, one of our transatlantic cousins from the Americas, I take it.
Yes, indeed. Grand Rapids.
Ah, our Lord Byron would like to have welcomed you himself. He knew you lot when you were all in Davy Crockett hats. What's your question?
Well, is that typewriter for sale?
Let's see. Yes, I believe it is. Let's have a look here. Oh, yes, yes, and very reasonably priced at $450.
Oh, that suits me. Look, honey, Lord Byron's typewriter.
You buy it home with honey, look cute on top of the hi-fi.
Yes, I'll just stick a soul label on it. There we are, right. Thank you very much.
It's a fiddle.
I beg your pardon?
It's a fiddle.
And who, pray, are you, sir?
It don't matter who I am. Typewriters weren't invented in those days.
What do you know about it?
Typewriter wasn't invented till 1867.
Oh, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't one like that either. That's much later.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Push off. Come in, only come on.
Just a moment. You said that was Lord Byron's typewriter.
Yes, well, I did. Yes, you're quite right there. That is what I said. Yes, I that's it. Yes, I can't deny it. I did say that.
And it was a lie.
Well, as it's turned out, yes. But it was quite a genuine mistake. There's so much stuff here, one gets confused, so to speak. Under the circumstances, I let it go for $50 cheaper.
Oh, okay, I'll take it. Must have belonged to somebody.
It's not worth it.
Isn't it?
I can get a bit of a bond than that in a junk shop for a quid.
Oh, well, in that case, I don't want it.
It's your prerogative, sir. Passing on, we come to the next one. Exhibit number 28, Lord Byron's shaving mug. And inside, a piece of the original shaving soap with the silver paper around it. I hate to let this go, but I'll let it go for $50.
Yes, yes, I'll buy it for $50, sir.
Right, sold to the gentleman in the big hat and the cameras.
That's not his shaving mug.
It is his shaving mug.
It isn't.
It's got his family crest on it. Look, a lion standing on a wheel.
That's British Railways.
Well, it is now, but it was his first. Now then, what am I offered? Lord Byron's shaving mug.
A British Railways teacup.
I'll wallop you in a minute.
Look, look. Is that Lord Byron's shaving mug or not?
Well, actually, there has been some controversy raging about this lately. Some people say it is, and some people say it isn't.
What people?
Him and me. You want it or not?
No, under the circumstances, I don't think I'll take it.
Thank you very much. And now we come to the highlight of the conducted tour. I shall endeavour to recreate for you the scene when Lord Alfred Byron...
George Gordon Byron.
Pardon?
His name was George Gordon Byron.
He was known to his friends as Alf. When Lord George Gordon, Alf Byron, received the inspiration in this very room here to write one of his immortal poems. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to imagine it's the year 1821. Lights, eyes down for a full hour. Eureka! Inspiration divine has visitated me. My quill and ink. My quill, my kingdom for a quill. Well, pass us one of those Lord Byron ball points, will you? Thank you. Anybody? Oh, after, right, though. Yes, I feel it coming. Yes, the muse has me in her grasp. It's a funny old world we live in. Skin. But the world's not entirely to blame.
He didn't write that.
It's the rich what gets the credit. Minutes, get it. And the poor what gets the blame.
Very.
Thank you very much. So we come to the end of the conducted tour. Souvenirs may be had from the counter over there. All prices are marked. Take home a stick of Lord Byron Rock, one of his famous quotations going right through it. One can, so to speak, actually lap up culture.
Get your Lord Byron tie. Show your friends you've been to Lord Byron's cottage. Get your Lord Byron's rebelling pencils, 9 shillings and 11 pence each. Little bowls containing Lord Byron that snow when you turn him upside down. Get your Lord Byron car pennants. Stick them on your windows. Have a crash.
Here you are then, see the prince at the cottage, 1 and 9. Anybody not get an Eiffel Tower whilst in Paris, right? German beer mugs, we've got the lot here. Duty-free scotch, yes, drunk by Lord Byron, there we are. Genuine Spanish castanets, all right, good lad, right. We send Cornish cream to all parts of the world. All right, there we are. And an inch-tick beef.
£32, 12 and a tenner. Another 6 weeks of this, we'll be able to have the whole place done up. Let's get ready for the next lot.
There you are. That's them.
Right. I'll handle this. Good afternoon.
Sorry, we're closed. Another tour starts in 15 minutes.
I am from the council, and this gentleman informs me that you've been charging money for admission to this house under the pretense that it was Lord Byron's cottage.
This is no pretense. It is his cottage.
Nonsense.
But look, he's got his poetry all around the walls.
Rubbish. He never wrote that, piffle. This house was erected after Lord Byron went abroad, and as he died abroad, it is impossible that he ever came here. And unless you can give me a satisfactory explanation, you'll be hearing from the public prosecutor within a few days.
Don't go, Sid. Sid, come back. Come back. Tell him where he gets off, boy. You found the poems. You found the poetry. Tell him. Brush him off. Go on.
Yes. Well, Well, you'll find out sooner or later. Byron didn't write them. I did.
You? An ignorant buffoon like you wrote those artistic gems? Sid, how could you deceive me like this?
Well, I thought he could have lived here. I thought the poems... Well, we had to have proof, didn't we? How else could we get the place done up?
Aha. And that's another thing. The council's attention has been drawn to the condition of this property. It spoils the tone of the whole neighbourhood. You must completely renovate it, or we shall be forced to have it condemned.
But that'll cost thousands of pounds.
That is your responsibility. Good day, gentlemen.
Can I just use a jar of Cornish cream, 3 and 6?
See? I told you.
Another fine mess you got me in.
Well, I still don't think we should give in. Somebody famous must have lived here. After all, we know it was a boarding house.
Oh, don't start all that all over again. You heard what the man said. We've got to do it up ourselves. Now, come on. Get scraping. Not another of your Lord Byron masterpieces.
No, this is genuine. This is years old. Look how faded it is. It's genuine.
Let's have a look. Charge of the Light Brigade by Alfred Lord Tennyson. First draft. Half a league. Half a league. Half a league. It gets monotonous, isn't it? Into the Valley of Death rode the 600. Cannons to the right of them. Cannons to the left of them. Cannons in front of them. Volleyed and thunder. What a load of old rubbish. What are you trying to... This is worse than the last lot. Are you trying to kid?
I'm not trying to kid you. This is genuine. Can't you see his signature right there?
Oh, very good. Very clever. Why didn't you sign the Lord Byron lot? We might have got away with that as well. Go on, get out of it. Alfred Lord Tennyson doesn't like rubbish like that. You must think I'm a complete fool. Got £2,000 worth of work to do here. Now get scraping. You poltroon. Half a league, half a league, half a league. I don't know where you get the words off from. I don't really. Anyway, I'm finishing this offer.
Thank you.